Welcome back to Kettlebells and Cocktails. I'm your host, John, back with my bestie, Nikki. Nikki, how are you?
I'm good. I'm doing good. I feel like both you and I are like, we're struggling to stay awake tonight.
No, I'm awake. It's been a long week. I got a trip planned. I'm headed down to where our guests live in Tampa, Florida, and we got Dave and Camille with us. How are you guys doing?
And hi.
Great to be here, John.
Nikki, I'd like to see you outside that competition floor.
I know,
right? It's nice to be comfortable and seated when I'm chatting with you guys.
I do without you interviewing some hyperventilating athlete post-workout.
Like getting dripped on, like sweat on. This is a much more comfortable environment, I have to be honest.
We're coming from the eye of the storm right now. Like the hurricane is literally passing us at this moment. So hopefully don't lose internet connection.
I feel like those interviews are why everyone think athletes are not the smartest, because we're always, and not because of you as the person interviewed, but I feel like the athletes, you're always so tired after a workout. And that's when they're like, okay, you just did a marathon a row as hard as you could for 3 hours. How do you feel? And you're
totally.
It's like an hour later, you're like thinking back to the questions, be like, should have said that.
Oh, right. And what you're makes it worse is like,
post workout.
I'm sure I did. I said the weirdest thing left and right. Yes, for sure. No doubt.
Thank God that doesn't affect the point standing early.
No, for sure. For sure. And you know what always makes it worse is like, we're on such a time crunch with the broadcast because we're going by the competition schedule, right? So there's whatever, a 2 minute changeover, a 90 second changeover, or something. We have to get it done in that exact teeny tiny time frame. So I literally have a group of wranglers, like volunteers on the media team, whose sole job it is to find you, the athlete, on the floor, dying, sweating, like barely keeping your eyes open. And their sole job is to be like, hi, excuse me, could you hurry your ass up? Could you come? You have to get up. You have to run. Actually, now you have to run to the interview because you're wasting time. And I always feel so bad. I'm like, I'm so sorry. I know you're dying. I just need like 20 seconds of your time and then you can go collapse on the competition floor.
Like when other athletes in other sports get interviewed, it's usually like post competition. Yeah. If you played a baseball game, you have somebody interviewing you in the locker room when you like had time to decompress or this and that. You're walking off the field and the game is over, but it's kind of like, okay, now do this interview and now you're getting ready to compete again. It's hard to stand right.
Yeah, totally.
The interview, I feel like it's just this weird dynamic between everyone, because even the athlete, you're like, I just want to die for a second.
I know.
And then you're up and then you have to think. And then as soon as you're done, it's like everyone like kind of leave you. And then another volunteer comes and like, okay, you have to get out now.
Right.
Just
move.
I'm sorry. Oh my God, buddy.
I'm so sorry. I don't even know where to go. Oh my God.
Like totally. You don't have to come here. Then you're like, because sometimes also the questions are like very thoughtful. And you're like, I don't have a thoughtful answer for this. And now you like feel bad about yourself. And then someone, right as soon as you're done, then someone's like yelling at you to get the hell out because another is coming, whatever.
We have more athletes coming if you could just. You're totally right. I think that's why like the end of competition interviews are usually the best ones. Like the final winners or the podium or the final whatever, top whatever, depending on the competition. Those are usually the times.
Flores Thomas was awesome. I was honestly very impressed because she, I don't know if she had thought about that beforehand or whatever, but she came across so intelligent and well-spoken.
Yeah.
And English is her second language, right? I mean, it was pretty deep stuff too, but you know, it's funny. Like,
she's awesome. I love Nora.
Yeah.
She's so great.
Yeah, she's perfect. Her. So freaking real. And it's so refreshing.
So guys, like, this is nuts, but we're coming up on Camille's 10-year anniversary of winning the CrossFit Games.
No,
God,
it feels like it was yesterday. It's 10 years ago.
Now. I still look the same, but I do not perform the same.
Yeah.
Is it weird? Is it weird to look back and be like, "Oh, look at the things that I did," but also look at the things I'm doing now?
Yeah, I just had this thing. Oh God, my daughter just slammed the door upstairs. Now I'm
with this conversation.
My hands are sweating. That's the difference in my life. This is my new stress. But I was just looking earlier today. Someone like this montage of just stuff like I was doing, and it just made me remember like all this stuff I did in training. I think because I'm older and I'm not as fit, I like now look at that stuff and I appreciate how good I was, because I couldn't see it when I was doing it because it felt so normal. Oh, press two handstand and do this and then that 200 pound. Okay. Today, it was just so.
And you also have a different frame of comparison. You're comparing yourself to other games athletes always and seeing what do you need to do this year and kind of skills you need to acquire.
Yeah, but when,
what might they program?
I'm just saying, like, when you're doing something and like it's like everything in life. When you work on a craft, it's like every day it's not even an inch. It's like you don't even know how much forward progress you're making. You can't even see it. And then you get to a point that it just always feels normal. And you're just always moving to the next step. And it's normal and it's normal and it's normal. And then your life change and those forward movement are completely different now. Now I'm just have so much passion for helping a lot of women that are suffering because I went through a whole thing. So completely changed my path in life, which is wonderful, devastating, what life is all about. But I can truly appreciate now the amount of virtue that I think I was able to get to when I was younger. So it's pretty cool.
It's funny, we see that too with like physiques now, having both competed in bodybuilding at a high level, like you don't realize how far you've come because you're comparing yourself to national level competitors who are so built and have such an impressive aesthetic that just the idea of like you lose your bearings, so to speak, as to what's normal, unquote. So yeah,
I think so. People can relate to I think this thing, like as you get older, you constantly look back, thinking, oh, when I was 16, I thought I was like too heavy or I wanted like more boobs or whatever. And then you get to 21 and you wanted to be skinnier. And then you get to 40 and you wanted to look like you worked when you were 21. And it's like this never, you're like never satisfied, which is something that I really changed in my life now, because I want to celebrate all the victories and use the momentum in a much different way. Because even when I won the CrossFit game back then, I was like, okay, like, what do I have to work on next? I was like, God, dude, just sit down for a second and enjoy this. It's strange.
There are so many parts of life that are like that, Camille. I'm the old guy in this conversation, obviously. And I've never done anything athletic in my life. However, we do have the same experience of raising children, and mine are much older than yours. And I have the exact same feeling you're talking about the games. I look back on raising my daughters when they were your daughter's age. Mm-hmm. And at the time it just felt so normal. And this is just where you are. And now they're 22 and 20. And I'd give anything for 5 more minutes of that.
Oh, like
anything. Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah. I think like the competition stuff, it's like Camille and I had both had our own like unquote professional athletic careers. So, I mean, I played baseball, Kimmy had a 10-year awesome CrossFit career, but it's a very kind of myopic existence. Like, you just focus on one thing. It's kind of like your whole world. It's what you think about, what you talk about, all your friends, like it really sucks you in. And now we look back and we're like, God, like we were like boring back then. It was so funny. I had a story where like, the year Kimmy stopped competing, you went back to...
That was serious. I was so serious.
Yeah, you were serious.
I was like so freaking intense.
So like, we went back so to we went back to CrossFit Invictus. This was like, I think you were done competing at that point. And we went back to CrossFit Invictus just to hang out and see some people. And we saw some of our friends that we knew. Garrett Fisher, who's like another games competitor guy at the time, at least. And we just wanted to catch up. You're like, hey, Garrett, how's it going? We hadn't seen him in maybe a year. And he was like, well, that last workout, the handstand pushups really got me. And I'm like, no, like, how's it going? Pathetic. Don't care.
We're not.
But that's like where your head is, right? It's just
right, of course.
And sometimes you forget to be a person.
Yeah, no, and I think that perspective and that lesson in perspective is really important because, man, it's everything, right? Like you said, Cammy, like when you're in it and you have blinders on, like you're not recognizing anything from your progression to maybe how devoted you are to maybe the other things that you're ignoring because you're really, really into that one thing. But then I think looking back and recognizing your progress, also looking back and recognizing the change of your goals, all of that like really, really profound perspective, I think is enough to make you just kind of like stop and appreciate where you are in the world. And I'm particularly interested in the way that your goals have changed because you said you've been through a lot and you have shifted your perspective on what that end should be. And I think oftentimes, like at least for women, like the end goal is too very often tied to our weights or how we look or that sort of on a very, I don't know, just like at a very surface level, though superficial level, though oftentimes, of course, those can be health markers and things that we need to pay attention to in the greater scheme of things. But what have you been through and how has your perspective on that stuff changed? Because I know that's been a driving force in the work you've been doing lately.
I think you don't know until you're thrown in the fire. And I have a very analytical brain. I have an engineering degree. So I feel like if you know any engineer, that tells you a lot about my personality. And the way I think I attack fear is by trying to understand what's going on. So coming back to John saying that he would give anything to have that 5 more minutes with your child when, you know, they're young. I had this huge blessing and a curse, and you never know if things are good or bad, because I think things are just what they are in the moment and you don't know what they're going to bring in the long term. And so Zoe was born very early at the NICU. She was born at 30 weeks. And they pretty much told us when we brought her back home that they thought that she has like less than 50% chance of survival. And we brought her baby back home. But for me, my first day of being a new mother, my experience was pretty much when I was having my C-section, I was praying the whole time that if one of us had to die to take me, that was me becoming a mom. I like prayed the whole time. The whole time I was like, if someone has to die, take me, take me, take me. And I would just repeat it. So when Zoe was born, then I didn't know how much time I would have with her. So every second became a gift. And I was going to do everything to be the best version of me, to do as much as I could for her. And a couple of things happened with that. One of the things that happened is I completely destroyed my health.
Fair, totally fair, given the circumstances.
Because I spent 12 weeks at the hospital, and then I would have to do feeding every 3 hours for 12 weeks and then pump right after. And then I was running a business and I lived at the hospital. So it just do some math. I didn't sleep for 12 weeks. There was like ringing every time Zoe's heart rate would drop and all of that. And I turned towards the things that help us try to get through it. So a lot of caffeine and just trying to train through it to get back some sanity. Ended up munching on a lot of carbs, and I really suppressed all my hormones. Like, I made myself very, very sick with the stress. I think it's very understandable. So I found myself heading very, very, very fast towards the gratitude. And when we brought Zoe home, I had just a lot of bad stuff going on, losing memories and struggle focusing. I started to gain a lot of weight. I couldn't lose weight around my waist. So I became very obsessed with trying to understand the chemistry in the body. Like I said, there was something I was fearing that was happening with my body, because it seemed like the more healthiest things I was trying to do, the worse it got for me. And it was pretty much cutting the calories, trying to train more, and then munching on carbs, drinking caffeine, which are pretty much everything that most new moms do, and they are directly linked to making your full system crash down.
Yeah, you're so basically describing my daily diet right now. It's caffeine and munching on carbs. Same. Is Nikki 101, truly.
Yeah. And that is most mom. And I found myself starting to talk about it and then seeing that there is so many women that are suffering in silence, just trying their hardest to get their health back. But the information that is fed to them is just not in line with that inner body chemistry. So I really started to take some huge step back in kind of like trying to figure out that connection in my brain between the shame and guilt feeling that then comes with like binge eating or punishment, where like that, like food and training comes into play, where it's a little yucky. And then trying to figure out how the food affects your brain, because behavior affects mood and mood affects behavior. So I started to really figure out all the tips and tricks, the lifestyle, like how to get yourself back up that hole. And now I'm lucky enough that that's what I do with it. That's what I do with a lot of women. As an example, I have one of my girls, I'm not going to name them because that's not right, but she was pre-diabetic and she was starting to be perimenopausal, and now she's no more of either or of those things. And all we did was really try to help her body chemistry with exercise and diet. And I mean, that's like most of the girl I work with is like people that have been suffering as they're getting older, not getting answer. And then we fix everyone's body chemistry as best as we can. And it's been nice to help people.
Yeah, I think like I've learned a lot from Camille, well, just researching this stuff herself and doing other clients. And the conclusion I've come to is that guys have it way better than women.
Yeah, you guys have it so easy.
You go through puberty and that's basically it. Sometimes you go through like andropause and testosterone starts to go down. There's easy fixes for that. And that's about it, right? But for women, there are all these different phases. I think especially what I've seen with Cam, and sure, her story is not uncommon. Like a lot of women, once they have babies, go through this stuff, is she had an amazing transformation. She went from, and I'll just use the numbers right now, she went from 160 pounds to, how much were you on stage at Nationals? Like 115 pounds within the year. But more so going from the worst mental state and emotional state with all post-traumatic stress from the hospital and all the stuff, trying to manage her business, and then being able to turn that around and go through that journey herself, and then figure out, going from one extreme to another, what does my baseline look like? Like, where do I want to live? And then sharing that with her clients. But you mentioned something, Nikki, about just the idea of like superficial types of endeavors. Fitness is not just about what your body looks like. And I think a lot of people, when they come into CrossFit, they look at fitness as that very superficial thing. And then once they find CrossFit, they're like, no, I really value performance. I want to see what my body can do. And aesthetics takes a back burner, but it also is really important to a lot of people too.
Yeah.
And so like, I don't want to diminish it. I remember Coach Glassman saying stuff like, oh, you should never have mirrors in your gym. Mirrors are stupid. But I'm like, well, what about the people that really care about how they look, like want to look awesome naked? And yeah. So like we've tried to find that middle ground between aesthetics and performance, and maybe you're not trying to be the world's fittest athlete, right? The fittest woman on earth. When I beat Camille in a workout, I title myself the fittest woman on earth, by the way.
Oh, good for you. Good for you, sir. That's a title. That's,
yeah.
That's great. No, I think
that's my goal, but I think CrossFit is like that. It's interesting looking back because we were so buried deep in it. Camille is an athlete. Me is an HQ trainer, teaching seminars for a decade. And now looking back, it's interesting to see like the things that we've decided to carry on with ourselves and impart to our own communities. And the stuff that we omitted, we're like, yeah, that's not for us anymore. We're not as, our perspectives have changed. And I think that's a really should be like a natural evolution for all athletes.
Yeah. And I mean, what I really like about you two at the helm of your businesses and the types of people that you get to speak to is that you really get to tailor the experience based off of all the things that you've already lived. And I think that's rad because both of you, as you mentioned, Dave, like you both have elite athlete experience. You both have like sort of like gone through the CrossFit roller coaster and found the things you like, found the things you didn't. You had goals all over the board from being the fittest people on earth or as fit as possible, or maybe both the fittest women on earth, depending on the workout. You don't know.
Yeah.
To aesthetics, to everything in between. And there's things that you can pick and choose and help your clients set goals and pick and choose. Because you're right, Dave. Like, on the one hand, it's I want to live in this world where like your body shape and size and numbers don't matter and everyone really should just be happy with who they are. And on the other side, I want to be like, if you have an aesthetic goal, go get it, girl. Do your thing. There's no shame in that goal either. I think whatever we each individually want to get to is really important. And especially with what you've been through, Camille. I mean, Dave, very experienced too, but just for anyone with a uterus, just throwing this out there, it is so incredibly important to have other moms to lean on who have been through, maybe not exactly what you've been through, but in a way been through what you've been through and can help tailor the experience based off of just what it's like to friggin' carry a life and deliver that life however the hell you do it. Like, you're forever changed as a person. So Camille, for you to be able to speak to moms and find whatever goal is best for them in the moment, whether it's just figuring out how to not only drink caffeine or walk on a friggin' aesthetic stage someday, like wherever it may be, I just think having your life experiences under your belt is a really nice way to set people up for really personalized, like individualized goals.
I think something that was very like mind opening for me going through my first bodybuilding show, which is so, I mean, complete opposite of CrossFit. And I do like to do things that are a little antagonist to each other because I feel like there's no better way to learn than to always look on the flip side and try to go as deep as you can in everything. It'll show you everything you need to know. And one thing that I didn't realize until having a daughter and doing this was how far I let myself go away from wearing my beauty at the expense of performance. Because when I was trying to be the fittest on earth, I literally created an alter ego for myself and I called her the Beast. Because I know it's not, but it's true. Because I wanted
getting into some role playing.
I know.
Something really into that.
And when I competed, I wanted to become this other person that did not care at all what she looked like or anything, because all that mattered was performance. So I like grew up doing gymnastic where like you had to be pretty and all of that stuff. And I felt like it was holding me back in my competitive career because I didn't want it to run when I was training and I like wouldn't make face and things like that. Then I realized that it was like keeping me from going into that next step of like deep, deep, deep pain because I was holding myself back. So I feel like I went so far there during the performance that I lost a little bit of touch with my femininity and this all other power that women have, which is being vulnerable, being beautiful. And it's so important, I think, that we feel like that, because it's, to me, when we talk about aesthetic and wanting to go on stage and wanting to work on your body, to me, that and performance both have their way to just be in a way to take an action that honor yourself. The same way that, you know, you're going to do your hair pretty in the morning, you're going to put like nice clean clothes on because you honor and you respect yourself. And I feel like the journey through fitness is really a journey, and it's not just performance, it's not just aesthetic. But I think that having something to chase in order to discipline yourself and respect yourself and honor yourself is really what I, the point I'm at in my life, where this is where I let go of all that shame and guilt. And I'm not training because I ate a cookie, or I'm not training because of X, Y, and Z, but I'm just trying to become that hero version of me that I want to be, both aesthetically and also be able to still kick my daughter's butt in a soccer game when we're older.
Yeah, like our companies, it's so funny, the communities behind them, they happen completely organically just by us sharing our stories. And yeah. They each had our challenges. Like for me, it was going through like major back surgery and hormonal suppression, and just like going through that phase where I'm like, man, like I really love doing CrossFit and I love competing and I love the community, but I feel like I can't keep doing this to myself because I just keep hurting myself really bad. And frankly, it's super discouraging. Like when you're no longer making progress and you feel like it's all downhill from here, it really takes the wind out of your sails. Cammy was saying, it's nice to feel like you can still win. And so, you know, post-surgery, we started exploring this blend of hypertrophy training, which is the process of building muscle, and pairing it together with CrossFit to see if we could solve two questions. Like, how do I continue to train hard and not get injured? And how do I blend performance and aesthetics together so I feel like I'm actually, even if my deadlift isn't going up necessarily, I feel like I'm wearing my work on my body and being able to build not just the performance side, but the physicality. And what's interesting is in the process, we realize that they're both very supportive of one another. Aesthetics and performance, it's not an either or thing. Like the benefits of hypertrophy training and building muscle and just cross-sectional size and strength of muscle has direct performance benefit because it increases your contractile potential. So like CrossFitters are amazing at understanding how to use their bodies. They're just limited by the physical body, like the amount of muscle that they have for that potential. And then the other thing it's amazing for is honestly like fortifying critical areas of breakdown, like shoulders, hips, and knees, and backs especially, because hypertrophy training by its nature is rehabilitative. It's building tissue and really fortifying areas. So it made sense to us from that perspective. But then the final thing that really started to click for us was like, when we ask people who want to train, like, why are you here? What do you want? 99% of them were giving you some derivative of, I want to look good and feel good. Yes. And okay. So right. If you don't feel good, you're always getting hurt and you don't love the way you look, we need to tweak this formula a little bit. Maybe for especially those people who are where we were, which was like we were aging out in some ways, right?
Sure.
We didn't do that honeymoon period where all the PRs come so fast and it's so awesome. And then the more capacity you have to express your fitness, the more capacity you also have to hurt yourself. But so we had to figure out those questions ourselves, and then just sharing what we were doing, what I was doing for yapping my back or getting my hormones back in line, or what Cammy was doing to post her career. She went through a pretty traumatic shoulder injury in one of her last years of doing CrossFit, where she had like completely dislocated and ripped all the ligaments and stuff around her shoulder, and trying to figure out like, how do we keep going? Because I feel like all of us here on the show and all of our clients and probably most people who follow us have one thing in common. They love to move. Like they really find joy in expressing their physicality, like the joy in movement, the joy in pushing hard. That's such a sacred thing. And it doesn't matter what form it comes. You don't have to subscribe to a brand, but I think just subscribing to a principle now allows you to figure out like, well, what's going to work best for me now, regardless of what might be like written on the whiteboard. And that's a hard thing to do because, you know, it's all around you. It's peer pressured in you in some ways.
How do you get, how many people do you have doing this type of training that, and I'm not asking for myself, but that are in that master's age, like as they get older, I think that's the struggle for people in my age group.
You know, Camille and I have different community demographics. Like her brand is probably more females in her brand. My brand Thunderbro is about 70% men. And the demographic, our key demographic are those like 30 to 50 year olds.
For both of us, the 30 to 50 is, and I mean, plus and minus, but like the chunk of our group is really that 30 to 50 people who were broken or people who did all the diet and everything, got very frustrated that it wasn't working. And then they jump into one of our challenges and like, well, it's the first time that all my health markers are going the right way and my body's finally moving.
Yeah, most of our athletes have kids and are working moms and dads. Most of them have a CrossFit background and been doing it for 3 years or more. And they've even tried different programs. Like they've tried the Comp Train and Mayhem and this and that. Like we're not even in that realm. Like we're not a CrossFit program. We're not a bodybuilding program. We're like somewhere right in between. And so like those people, it's interesting because like we have our core program, and you're asking how many, John, like our core program, Muscle Anarchy, which is a blend of advanced bodybuilding methodology laid on top of functional movements and minimal equipment and some GPP training. That's, I would call it light and easy CrossFit. We have thousands of athletes in there. It's about 70% men, but in our 30-day shred challenge, which is our 30-day transformation challenge, specifically targeting fat loss, we're almost 80% women, Nikki. Mm. Which is interesting to me because obviously like the idea of like building muscle and the word Thunderbro, it's got these very vibrato connotations and it's this in some ways celebrating masculinity. While that may be like 70% men, majority women are resonating with fat loss and weight loss. And that was kind of interesting to me because, you know, you're in marketing, like you need to know how to 100%. Speak language.
Yes.
And I want to be able to offer things for everybody. And Cam too, like she has incredible transformation programs that are like combining training, nutrition, and one-on-one coaching into one kind of package where we say, let's stack the deck in your favor and control everything we can control for 30 days to maximize your probability of success and see what we can do, where all you got to do is execute and we come up with the directives. And it's cool. It's cool to see people letting go of that score on the whiteboard a little bit in some ways too, where they still love to train hard, but it doesn't like define them. They don't feel bad if they didn't have the heaviest lift or something like that.
Like you just have to teach. I think looking back at when I did CrossFit, what I loved about it was never the score. It was the process and the journey. We were just with Josh Bridge last weekend and Josh Bridge was my first training partner ever. So I have a
place
for him in my heart for sure. And I was, as you go through life, I've been thinking about this a lot, I guess, recently. It's kind of like, what is my essence in some ways? Why am I attracted to certain things? And I've been asking myself that a lot recently. And it was like, why did I like CrossFit so much? And everything always came back to this kind of shared experience. I loved it. The shared experience, that the community aspect, and just like really being able to connect with people and in some deep ways. And I think that's why I love what I do so much now, is I share a glimpse into some people's life and I get to help them and we get to do this together. And it's very fantastic. But yeah, looking back, that's like really just what I love the most about CrossFit was being like, I was literally Josh's little golden retriever. He would bring me through the craziest adventure. And I was just, okay, what are we doing next? And then we would be done and it would go to Dave and be like, yeah, there was the sea lion in the ocean. I'm glad Cam's okay. And I'm like, that was fun. And I think teaching people to just fall in love in the process of health is really what it's all about. Because now you subscribe to that principle, like they said, it's on a trend, but you get to really enjoy doing shoulder day and feeling like your shoulder burn, and you're chasing that instead of just chasing this weird number on the scale or how do I look or like this like punishment. I just feel like changing the way you do things towards I get to do this and I love it is pretty awesome.
Yeah, looking back at all of our time and CrossFit, I was thinking about all the things that at a certain point we did have to disconnect, and I had to step away from HQ. Kim had to get away from competing. We literally needed to kill ourselves in some way to evolve. And there's so many great things that we loved at being on the seminar staff. Like, you developed such great like public speaking skills, network and credibility. I think I taught about 400 seminars and almost 20,000 trainers, which is like amazing just to get the opportunity to do that. And for Kim, we were athletes that
still working on the speaking skills.
Yeah. Like we just love, like she said, we're just process driven people. Like, we were working out in our garage because we just love that process and that grind. We like waking up and doing things on purpose with purpose and knowing what we're chasing and having a strategy and evaluating things and all that stuff. And how amazing is that, that people even cared to watch athletes work with them in their garage, yeah, to be able to make a career out of it and have such a great platform for her to share her story, Bristol to share her story. Like, it was really incredible. And I think seeing how everything evolved when I got into it is like 2007, the whole fitness industry has changed, right? The systemic effect of CrossFit and the fitness industry can be seen in any Crunch Fitness or 24 Hour Fitness. It's just like the introduction of real compound high utility functional movements. And you see that everywhere. There's like Olympic lifting platforms, a Crunch now. And you know, that's everywhere. And I think that's such a gift that CrossFit brought to the world of fitness. And the other thing is, like, CrossFitters, like, with the intensity, like, nobody knows how to train hard. Everyone's like afraid to sit. Kim was saying, like, I don't want to look stupid in the gym. And now you've got the skill of understanding how to work with close proximity to failure. And we feel like if you just take those skills and channel them in the right direction, you've got such an advantage over any average gym goer, because most people don't know how to move and most people don't know how to train hard. So as soon as you put a little strategy behind it, athletes take off. It just needs to be a little bit more specific if the goals are more on an aesthetic basis.
And you know, for everyone listening on the audio version of this, that's Nikki growling in the background.
Well, if it were me, and you would know if it were one of my dogs, because it would sound like a porno in the back. Like, my dog just really like, if Griff ever is in the room, it's only heavy breathing. It's just, no matter how far away he is from the mic, all you hear is, and I'm like, bro, it's not even hot in here. Just too excited for his own good.
So, hey, I have a question about your community. So you sparked something you said, Camille, about the shared suffering that we have within CrossFit, or the shared experience that we all have. And my impression of kind of the bodybuilding world is that you're always chasing somebody else, or you're chasing the pump, right? But I've always been curious, like, what's the community like?
Are you talking about like the hardcore bodybuilding community?
No, just like your community, the one you're building.
Our communities are way different from the average bodybuilding community.
Okay, the like, for rooms community, I would say, I think they're like a close version of me, and we're all like chasing some of the same goal. Like, we're all completely different, but I think we're all chasing the same goal of just trying to be the best version of ourselves that we can. And I think that part of why I created Feroz for myself was that I've lived such an excessive life when it comes to discipline and it just everything, right? I was getting a chemical engineering degree as I was winning the CrossFit game. So, when I was younger, people would ask me, like, so how do you balance everything? And I would have smart-ass answer. Now that I'm older, the answer is not.
I did
what I had to do. And that said, like, I really did what I had to do. I would stay up all night and study, and there was no balance, but I was going to get after it and get my goal done. And there's something pretty awesome about that. So you don't have to fake that you're too cool for it or whatever, and which is, I think, normal when you're younger. But yeah, I want balance, and I want to have time to be with my daughter, and I want her to see a mom who works hard and who's able to be the best version of herself. And I didn't want to be so focused on a number on a board, and I wanted to just do and train in a way that was supportive of my hormone and my health, and get away from all that. Like I said, that like shame and guilt that comes between the food and the training, and I need to look like this, or I need to perform like that. And I really wanted to create something that was going to be like just what I want to be, which is I want to be athletic. I want to feel good, but I also want to look awesome. I want to go to Zoe's gymnastic and have the other mom be like, what are you doing? Yeah. We want to be part of it.
Walking around and they go, fuck you.
And that bitch looks awesome. Yeah. Screw her. Yeah.
And I want to build longevity. And as I'm going through this process, because I'm learning more every day, like that's really, I'm quite obsessed with process and everything I do. And I always just want to keep learning. And it's like the more I learn and the more I apply to my own life, it's pretty amazing how the mindset is changing so much. And I'm also finding ways to love myself and who I am, and to let go of thing of the past in a way that has a lot of love and compassion. I think children helps you to do that, because I would hate Zoe to talk to herself the way I guess sometimes I talk to myself. But I think pairing that with the how I eat and how I train, and giving myself like some slack, but also achievable things. Like my training is very achievable and it brings tons of results. So that was the goal. Like 45 minutes, get my training done, build muscle, build capacity, and then spend the rest of the day with my daughter and helping people. And then I find that a lot of my clients, that's what they want too. They want to spend time in the gym taking care of themselves, and then be able to take that outside the gym and look good, feel good.
But John, to your question, very intense. Okay. Very intense. Camille's very intense. I'm very intense.
But one thing that's
interesting is a lot of this for people is really redefining what intensity can be beyond just speed and load. Right? Because they're all used to like, well, if it's not as heavy as possible, or if it's not as fast as possible, it's not going to be effective. But the truth is, those two things are like speed and momentum. They're the enemy of muscle hypertrophy. Like when you're doing good hypertrophy training, it's not about making heavyweights feel light. It's about making lightweights feel really hard by using all these mechanisms that are great for taking muscles to exhaustion. I think a lot of people who think they've done bodybuilding before really don't understand, like, good bodybuilding, it comes down to one principle, right? The body's designed to survive. That's it. So exposing it to a specific type of stress is going to force it to move in one direction or another. So it needs to be really hard to be effective. Now, does that mean it needs to be like heavy to the point where you're tearing your labrum and herniating discs in your back? No, there's lots of different ways that you can use, lots of methods that we've worked on over the past few years as perfecting, especially when combining them with kind of these compound functional movements, to be able to get athletes to respond really well to submaximal weights just by making the movement challenging and using different mechanisms to do that. So people love posting about like the giraffe getting up and falling down on leg day because of our brutal training. Like what Tammy does is brutal training. She made Chase Ingham cry doing the regen workout for this stuff. But it's most people are so unaccustomed to it that they don't realize. It's really fun for us to take somebody who thinks they're strong and have them crying with this light barbell being like, oh my God, I never knew this could be so hard. because
it's
they're
a different kind of pain.
They got the blind on. They only think about training in one way. And that was something that we had to learn, is to view training from a lot of different angles beyond just as you can or as fast as you can.
Because you're chasing in bodybuilding, the thing that I found so cool is that you're chasing the stimulus. That is like what you want. You want to get your muscle and your failure. So, you know, if you do a CrossFit workout, I think that's where the CrossFit brings hypertrophy, is that because people push themselves to failure. It's not really regimented necessarily or like as purposeful on that side as how bodybuilding is, but that's where the muscle grows. So think about a workout that you're reaching failure. Well, that's the point where I would come behind you in your press and I would help you keep pressing for 10, 15 more reps, and your arms, you can feel them, but they keep going. And that's really where the magic happens. So if you're like, love the intensity, love feeling like you're disciplining yourself in some way, I think I've cried as much doing bodybuilding than CrossFit and the intensity side.
And there's a whole nother part of it that comes outside the gym, because I think one of the big things we've also taken away the past few years is that what you're doing outside the gym is going to influence which way your body is moving so much more than what you're doing inside the gym. Mm. It's really the nutrition and the lifestyle and really refining your internal chemistry and making sure it's not one thing, it's like 100 things that you need to be able to master so that that time in the gym provides a fruitful return that most people, you can't always hide behind intensity is the cure all for everything, because there's so much more to it. Intensity is a great catalyst, but unless you're doing all those other things right, you're working at a fraction of your capacity. And in a lot of cases, ending up at a point of just stagnation or regression because those other things are missing.
Right. So if I were doing this, how many days a week would I need to wear a tank top like that?
Well, so Fridays, no sleeves are allowed. And say it's
not at all.
Out. If you're wearing sleeves, we just don't trust you.
Oh, yeah. Well, sleeves are a prison.
We got that. It says, bring thunder, get you. But, you know, there is a whole culture behind that. And I think part of this for me as a man, right, was Cammy saw me at my low point. And it wasn't even so much how low I was physically, but emotionally, getting to the point where I'm like, damn, my body's falling apart and I'm losing muscle and I'm dealing with erectile dysfunction. This is not cool. And being able to say, no, like that there's a way to thrive, not just survive through this. And I got to look outside the box, because what I'm doing right now, as great as a paleo diet and going to CrossFit class every day is, it's not doing the trick for me. So it's your job as a man to figure it out. And I think we're both come from the adage of like, where there's light, there's hope. So if we have the opportunity to fight, like we don't want to go quietly into that at night. It's like we want to be like rock stars, especially as we get older and be those outliers.
Dude, you are a rock star. If I look like you, I'd wear a tank top 24/7. I work in a bank. I would walk into the bank in the tank top. Like every day.
Tank top.
Yeah. So John, do you know Steve Wexler? He's got the Wex Appeal podcast.
Oh yeah. Wex and I are good friends. He's getting his pump on. He's doing your program right now.
He's right. 4 weeks deep into his transformation process. Granted, like I work with him personally and I coach him on his diet and his supplements and his schedule. And he does our muscle therapy training program. But so he's right now he's 4 weeks deep. He started at 244 and he's down to 225.
Damn.
And this is a guy who
guys lose weight, right? And they just think about losing weight and they lose weight. That's not fair. Yeah, you guys. Yeah.
That's true too, because for ladies, it's so easy to put on weight, especially once you get past a certain age or post-birth or whatever. It's very easy to put it off. It's very hard to get it off.
Yeah.
Because one, men comparatively have more muscles, so their metabolisms are running harder.
Hormones are really different.
And the hormones are different. Exactly.
And that's one of the biggest problem with the nutrition industry and all that is the lack of that understanding, because most of the diet are made by men for men. And then even when it comes to performance, and it just doesn't take into account, like our hormones are so different, and women are very, very sensitive to hormones. That's why women have so much more hormonal issue than men, and also so much more digestive issue than men. But when all the girls I work with, I would say what's hard is resetting that metabolic flip, that metabolic switch to fat burning. But once we get there, it's pretty quick how the body responds. So there is hope. So if you're listening to this and you're right about to throw the towel because you've tried all the what is it, the
pills,
the Janie Gregor,
like, Janie Craig.
Yeah, Janie.
Close enough. Close enough.
I knew it too, man. If you've tried all the other bullshit diets out there, yeah.
Man, I feel like
there's a way to do it.
I feel like I'm getting taunted now because Wex is a good friend and I know I'm going to see him at Wadapalooza and he can't look better. He can't look better than me at Wadapalooza. So
he's totally beefcake, John. And what's interesting, like our views on nutrition have really changed since CrossFit and really just like all these layers of precision that sound silly, but actually make a big difference. And one of the things that we've really tried to focus on is like when most people say they want to unquote lose weight, like unless they're overweight, but most people are talking about recomposition. They want to improve their composition. They want less body fat, they want more muscle mass, and that's actually a tricky balance to achieve, to be able to balance the anabolic signals in the body, to be able to build muscle, and the catabolic signals, be able to shrink fat cells. It really is a delicate balancing act that is something we specifically specialize in. So like when Steven does his DEXA scan, we don't just want to see that his body fat has gone down, but we also want to see that his muscle mass has gone up. And a lot of that comes down to the right nutrient timing and macronutrient balance and supplements and the way all this stuff is positioned. When he executes a day, he's got his entire day written out in 3-hour blocks with specific macros for every 3-hour block to help him do that. And Cam does the same thing with her clients where she just like writes the whole thing out. And it's if it doesn't work, it's my fault. Because
let me tell you how petty I am. All right. I'm gonna message Flex and I'm like, hey buddy, just talking on the podcast about what a great job you're doing. Here's a congratulations, and I'm sending him some crumble cookies. That's what I'm
doing. Oh no.
That's just how petty I am. He can't look better than me at Wadapalooza. I gotta be honest.
He's like a laid back guy, but one thing I can tell is that he's serious about this.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
We had a conversation, I was like, look, dude. If it's going to happen, it's got to happen now, because you're never going to get a better point where you got this guy who's going to tell you exactly what to do. And it gets harder as you get older. So if you want to do something about this, now is the time to really go for it and see how far we can take you. Otherwise, it's one step forward and two steps back. And I think that's what you see a lot of is, I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do that, or I'm going to do the paleo diet, or I'm going to do carnivore, or I'm going to do intermittent fasting, or to bounce from these three programs, and then you're like in the same spot, but still not really better.
Well, and to his credit, he has young children, a wife who's a cancer survivor, and a hardworking dude. So the fact that he's throwing himself into your program, which you guys are admittedly are saying is very intense, I'm impressed.
He's doing fasted cardio first thing in the morning. He's got his hypertrophy lifted, not like he's really killing it.
I would say our program are intense, but it's also coming back to, do you want to keep jumping from one thing to the other, feeling lost in your life, not getting the result you want? Or would you much rather have someone who's literally giving you a written down process to live by? That will stay for the rest of your life. And I think that's the coolest thing about what we do with our clients is we're not just like taking them to a result that we want. We're like building a life around their life. So they build this longevity of health and like happiness that is supportive. And it's just really cool to do. It's so important to us that when people lose weight with us, they don't lose muscle. Because we want to keep building muscle, because that's the number one indicator of how you're going to age and how independent you're going to be as you age. So we do take all those little variables in consideration very seriously. And I think I'm as intense as doing this as I am. Like when I was competing. Yeah. Once you suffer and granted, like most people don't know this, but I was very very, very sick. When Zoe came back from the hospital, one example, I got the shingles.
Oh, which is one.
An old people disease.
Like because pox,
my body was so wrecked and I was frail. And a lot of people were asking, are you going to come back to CrossFit? I couldn't do any CrossFit because I would have panic attack and anxiety. I had a lot of PTSD from the hospital. And it was like, how do I create the whole system, get myself out of that hole? And that's the system now that has become my life. And that now we help other people find their system.
Yeah. And John, I think for like you and guys like Wex, like having that written out schedule is actually so important because you have so many responsibilities, right? Mm-hmm. Because you want to be a dad and you want to provide and you have all these things going on. It's as you get older, the responsibilities just keep piling up. And so for you to be able to be your best, like you got to be able to one, take care of yourself and feel good in your body and like where you're at so that you can be good for everyone else, but also be regimented enough to know exactly what you're doing and when you're doing to maximize your ability to contribute to all those responsibilities, including just your own self-care.
You mentioned at the top of this, I know we're getting close to time here, but you meant at some point you said no caffeine, and I have to come back to it because I need to know if that's a tenet in this program. You guys doing no caffeine through this?
No, that's for me personally. We want another baby, and caffeine is not super good for the eggs, and it's linked to possibility of miscarriage, but also it increases your cortisol, and some women are very, very sensitive to it. I do some of like little detox programs sometimes. That it's like you take 3 days off meat, then it's 3 days off dairy, 3 days off, and all of those are linked to certain hormones and receptor in your body. So to reset your leptin, so you know when you're hungry, when you're not hungry, same thing, estrogen and all that stuff. So for me, like I just started to try to reduce as much as possible all the variables that were linked to cortisol so I could bring my stress down and just help with like my metabolism, my health and my body composition. And I mean, honestly, I took coffee out like a couple of months ago.
Not
now.
That long ago. And that's for fertility, John. So unless you're trying to have a baby, you can have caffeine.
Or high cortisol.
I'm going to drink caffeine since you said
that. We use it as part of our supplement regime. We use it with our clients as a thermogenic, meaning it can help increase your body's core temperature. Right. It can serve as an appetite suppressant. So for athletes that we have doing things like intermittent fasting, typically we'll give them like an MCT oil, a coffee, collagen kind of blend, similar to like strong coffee, if you guys have ever heard of that.
Right? Oh, yeah, of course.
Where it pairs really well with that, with creating a sense of satiety, giving you some clarity and mental focus, staving off the hunger so that you can make it to 1 p.m. or whatever that time is if you're doing, say, like a 16:8 fast. And it has good context there. And I think everything has content, like Coca-Cola and candy bars. Like there are really strategic ways that you can spike your insulin post-exercise that can be really advantageous for muscle protein synthesis. So everything has a utility and a context, both from a nutritional and training perspective. It's just understanding like why you're using it and how important it is it compared to the big stuff.
Right.
Always going to be your diet.
Well, as soon as you said no caffeine, I saw Nikki checking out. I just had to ask
like,
her.
Like fun, but I'm done. No,
like with pumpkin spice season.
And how can I say it?
Nikki, is that caffeine right there? Are you drinking coffee?
Yes, it's just a giant pumpkin spice latte at 9:30
at night.
Oh,
no. I used to do that when I was in school.
Coffee has a 5-hour half-life. So if you're taking 300 milligrams of pre-workout at 5 p.m. in your post-workout class or whatever it might be, that means that when you go to bed at 10, there's 150 milligrams of caffeine actively circulating in your bloodstream. And the problem with that is when you go through your day, there's a chemical called adenosine that builds up in your brain. It's the hormone that makes you feel sleepy. Okay. And caffeine is an adenosine blocker. So it can actually keep you from getting to sleep. So if you're like waking up groggy, because you haven't been able to clear the adenosine out of your brain during the night. And so what people will do is they'll get a cup of coffee in the morning to wake up. When you do that at night, it can really mess with your circadian.
Yeah.
And that is part of the cortisol conversation as well.
Yep.
I do believe that some people metabolize caffeine a lot faster. And I do believe that some like cultures that like drink an espresso after dinner or whatever. Like, I almost wonder if you can build a certain tolerance that helps you metabolize.
I think you're just an addict trying to make excuses. That's all
I used to do. You might be right.
I used to be crazy for the pre-workouts, like Jack 3D and Monster Energy drinks, and it was like, it didn't matter how much I took, like I was not getting an effect out of it, because you build up a tolerance to it, that's what you're saying. But I think the idea is like everything with moderation.
Yes, exactly.
Caffeine or marijuana or mushrooms and testosterone or whatever it is.
And in context, right? I mean, I'm in context. Saying that I will do anything to get pregnant right now. So I think, right, like everyone else, you wake up, your doctor tells you that you might die from a heart attack, and it's like, all right, all of a sudden you thought you couldn't eat healthy and now you do. And I think it's like,
Zoe, oh, you're a superstar.
Hi, pretty girl.
So cute.
Oh my goodness.
So how old are you, Zoe?
How old are you, Zoe? 1, 2.
gotta be a little shy. It's the best age. Goodness. So cute.
She turned out pretty good, by the way.
Turned out perfect.
No, I didn't. We're going to keep her.
Pop Patrol, you want to watch?
Oh, good.
Yeah.
At 9:30?
Yeah, no, she's perfect. Oh, absolutely.
I think sports trauma. Run on the internet.
Yeah.
Careful. She's
yeah.
Oh my God, she's so cute.
Yeah, I think sports really prepared us for that. Just having gone through hard stuff before physically.
Yeah.
It was the kind of thing where we were like prepared for the worst. Like,
yeah.
Right.
And so I think for us, like, I just needed that expectation of, hey, whatever it is, like, we'll figure it out. We're prepared for whatever it is. You have no idea. Everyone's telling you stuff. We got 1,000 messages from people who had premature kids, and they were like, oh, mine's great. And the next one's, mine died.
Like, right.
Okay. Did you just not tell me that?
Yeah, no.
But one thing I think that was interesting was, obviously, our story was not an uncommon one and certainly really scary. And we're so grateful for that NICU and those nurses, for little heart beating. And like Cameron was talking about those alarms, like every time she'd have a bradycardia, which is she'd stop breathing, the alarms would go off. And it was just alarms all day and night for weeks, and we were just like permanently traumatized for bells. Anytime a bell goes, we just cringe a little bit. But it's amazing to me to see how incredible Zoe is from where she was. She's like the size of my hand, and she was just like this little red wrinkly thing, and now she's this big, happy, beautiful, and very tenacious, spunky little girl. She's very fiery. I remember even when she was in the NICU, we were trying to position her so we could maybe change her diaper or something. And she didn't want it. She like didn't want to have it. And so I was like, I had my hands on top of her back, and she did a push-up against my hands. And I was like, oh, holy shit, it's a push-up against my hands. Like,
you're like, young lady, you are like 3 weeks old. What are you doing right now?
What's going on, Zoe?
Oh, she's ready for you to be done. You'd be done podcasting. Right. It's time to go, Mama.
Together. This is mayhem. Once you have kids, it's like the best type of mayhem.
Oh, so I know. I love it.
Yeah, that's absolutely the best. We can wrap up on this. I wanted to tell you guys, when we saw you in Tampa, I didn't really get a chance to talk because you guys were so busy. but I got a chance to watch you guys chasing her around the venue. And it's funny, but it's also very touching to see a family that's really busy and engaged, and you're working and like you're trying to do 100 different things, but you're still really focused on your daughter. And as a dad, I love that. So,
well, I mean, how much of a gift is it that we even have her?
Yeah. Right.
Like this is, we're like, every day is just such a gift. Like life is hard and there are things that are important, but there's nothing more important than just good quality time with her. So she helps all, I think. It's crazy how many people know our story with her. Go to these CrossFit competitions, John, and people are like, hi, Zoe. And I'm like, how the fuck do they know?
Who are you?
Yeah. It gets a little creepy.
Like she's going to have a totally weird context of the world. She's going to think everyone just knows her.
Yeah.
She's not wrong.
Yeah.
I love that.
What she does. She's got some of my likes and some of Camille's likes. So she likes drums. That's me. She likes grunting and screaming. That's me. And she loves being pretty. That's Camille's look this morning. Put makeup on her. She's got so much sass. And a huge imagination. Like she plays imagination games that are just like, so it's like you're in our own universe.
Isn't it so fun? Isn't it? Aren't you like sad to think that we lose that as we age? Like I wish all.
I would go full tilt into my own head. Sometimes.
Good.
Sometimes, but I feel like I'm.
They change 50 times over. So
what time is it?
And then she wants me to go and see Paw Patrol.
So it's time for Paw Patrol, Mama.
Yeah.
Time is now.
Rain's to gain minutes. Your son, we're gay.
I'd say try.
Let's go.
Here we go.
Wow.
And go.
Oh my
God. And then it's a wrap, people. Thank you for tuning in.
So cute. All right. Well, Dave, thanks for joining, man. We appreciate
My pleasure. Thank you so much for having us. It's an honor to be on. I love to get to talk about this stuff with you guys. One of the big things that we do is just like a lot of education, explaining the science and methods and mechanisms that you can use to blend all this stuff together. So thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to talk about it a little bit.
We love it. All right. Nikki, go. Drink another coffee before bed, right?
No problem. I got you.
All right. For everyone listening, appreciate you guys joining, and we will chat with you guys soon.
All right.